Title: Macro Automation for FX Sweeps Using Arrangement View Beginner. All right, welcome in. Today we're doing one of the most useful drum and bass skills in Ableton Live, Macro Automation for FX Sweeps and Arrangement View. This is one of those small effort, huge payoff techniques, because in DNB, energy management is basically the whole game. The drop only feels massive if the build actually creates tension, and the transition doesn't smear your drums into a fog. By the end of this lesson, you'll have a reusable rack, a few macros that feel like DJ controls, and you'll be able to draw automation that makes builds lift, drops punch, and fills hit without chaos. First, what we're building. We're making a DNB sweep rack. Think of it like a transition control panel. One rack, sitting on a bus like your drums group, with macros like a filter sweep, a reverb wash amount, some saturation crunch, optional lo-fi damage, and stereo width control. And then we automate those macros in arrangement view, so you can create classic DNB moves like the pre-drop vacuum, the riser brightness push, and that post-drop slam back where everything suddenly snaps tight and punchy. Quick setup, just to keep this lesson grounded. Set your tempo somewhere around 172 to 176 BPM. Then make a few groups. A drums group, a bass group, and a music or FX group. And lay a super basic structure, so you actually have places to automate. 16 bars intro, 16 bars build, 32 bars drop, 8 bars mini break, 32 bars drop 2. Perfect. Now, a coach note before we even touch devices. Decide what is allowed to move. If you put this rack on a drums group that includes your kick, and you do a big filter close, you might accidentally thin out the exact punch you want at the drop. So a very DNB-friendly approach is, keep kick, and sometimes snare, on a separate drums punch track. Then your breaks, hats, tops, and layers can sweep and wash without stealing impact. Okay, step 1. Create the rack. Click on your drums group track. Drop an audio effect rack onto it. Rename it DNB Sweep Rack. Simple, but do it now, because you'll reuse it constantly. Step 2. Build the device chain inside the rack. After the rack, add stock devices in this order. Auto filter, saturator, redux if you want jungle grit, reverb, then utility. We're doing it in that order, because the filter shapes the energy, the saturation adds weight, redux adds damage when you want it, reverb gives you the space movement, and utility is your final stereo control. Now some safe starting settings. On auto filter, choose a low pass 24 dB slope. Keep resonance around 0.8 to 1.2. Don't go wild yet. A little resonance adds excitement. Too much starts whistling or spiking harsh frequencies. On saturator, set it to analog clip. Turn soft clip on and put drive somewhere like 2 to 6 dB as a starting point. On redux, leave down sample off for now, and bit reduction at 0. We'll macro it so it only appears when we want it. On reverb, set size around 60 to 90, decay maybe 2.5 to 6 seconds, but keep dry slash wet at 0 to start. That's important. We want reverb to be a choice, not an accident. And set the high cut somewhere like 6 to 10 kHz so it stays darker and doesn't turn into fizzy top end. On utility, leave width at 100% and gain at 0 dB. Now step 3. Map parameters to macros. Open the rack's macro controls and hit map. Macro 1 is sweep. Map auto filter frequency. Set a range that works musically. Minimum around 200 to 400 Hz and maximum up around 18 kHz. This range is the difference between tension and vacuum and full brightness and release. Macro 2 is space. Map reverb dry slash wet. Set the range minimum at 0%. Maximum on a drum bus. Keep it controlled. 25 to 40%. If you ever put this on your full mix bus, go even lower, like 10 to 20, because it'll wash everything instantly. And remember the DNB mindset, reverb is often a moment, not a permanent lifestyle. Macro 3 is crunch. Map saturator drive. Set it from 0 dB up to maybe 6 to 10 dB, depending on how aggressive you want it. If you're going heavier, you might push it, but start safe. Macro 4 is destroy. Map redux bit reduction. Set it from 0 up to around 4 to 8. Past 8, it gets extremely obvious, which can be cool, but it's not beginner safe across an entire drum bus. Optional, you can also map redux down sample with a subtle range, like 1.00 to 2.50, but only if you're already comfortable with how it bites. Macro 5 is width. Map utility width. Set minimum around 0 to 60% for mono-ish tightness, and max around 120 to 140% for wide. Quick warning from experience, width automation can wreck low-end mono compatibility, so use it mostly on drum tops or music buses, not on a sub-heavy bass group, unless you've taken steps to keep low centered. Now, one extremely important safety habit. Make macro ranges performance safe. Before you automate anything, play your track and twist each macro from 0 to 100 slowly. If any area sounds unusable, like the reverb completely drowning the groove, or the filter resonance turning into a piercing whistle, tighten the mapping range. Your goal is, full travel should sound like a control DJ transition, not a mistake. Alright, step 4. Automation in arrangement view. Hit tab to make sure you're in arrangement view. Press A to show automation lanes. On the drums group track, find your rack and the macro knobs. Click the macro you want to automate, like sweep, and in the automation chooser you'll be able to select it. Often Ableton will automatically bring up the last touched control, which is super handy. Now we're going to draw three classic D&B moves. Move A, the pre-drop vacuum. This is the money one. We're doing it 2 bars before the drop. The goal is to suck energy out so the drop hits harder. Over 2 bars, automate sweep from open to closed. So from about 18kHC down to around 300hC. Then space. In the last 1 bar, rise from 0% to about 25 or 30%. And right on the drop, snap it back to 0%. That snapback is what stops the drop from feeling blurry. Optional. Width can go from wide down to a bit narrower approaching the drop, like 120% down to 60%, then back to 100% on the downbeat. Here's a teacher tip. Add anchor points on bar lines. Put automation breakpoints at the start of the build section. 1 bar before the drop, the downbeat of the drop, and 1 bar after the drop. These anchor points keep things musical and prevent the classic beginner issue where your filter is still half-closed 4 beats into the drop, and you're wondering why everything feels weak. Also, shape matters. If your automation line is perfectly straight, it can feel a little predictable. Try making it gentle at first and steeper in the final half bar. That gives urgency, like the track is running out of time before the drop hits. Move B, the riser brightness push. This is for the build lift. Over 8 bars, automate sweep from about 2kHC up to 18kHC, slowly opening. That's the sense of acceleration and lift. Over the same 8 bars, automate crunch from 0 dB up to about 5 dB. You're not trying to destroy the drums. You're adding density and perceived excitement. Keep space low until the final bar, then give it a quick spike. Again, reverb as a moment. This works amazingly on breaks and hats in jungle-influenced builds, because the high end feels like it's unfolding. Move C, post-drop slam back. This is impact engineering. Just before the drop, have space high, like 20 to 30%. Then at the drop, space snaps to zero. That sudden close and dry feeling makes the drums feel right in your face. And at the drop, you can bump crunch slightly, like plus 2 dB, for the first bar only, then return it. It's a subtle psychoacoustic trick. It adds impact without you needing to crank volume. Now step 6, refine your automation. Click into automation lane to create extra breakpoints. Add a midpoint so you can make an S-curve, slow at the start, fast at the end, perfect for tension, or do the opposite. Fast start, slow end, which feels like pulling the brakes, great for that vacuum move. If your live version supports curved automation gestures, you can curve the line by holding the appropriate modifier key while dragging. If not, breakpoints get you there. Workflow tips so you stay fast and tidy. Do not duplicate your automation all over the song too early. Do a rough pass with the mouse. Loop the section. Nudge breakpoints with fine movement, like shift drag for precision. When it feels right, then copy it to later transitions. This is way faster than copying early and then fixing 5 bad copies later. Now, gain staging. This matters a lot when you automate crunch and destroy. Saturation and bit reduction can increase perceived loudness, and sometimes actual peak level too. Watch your group meter. If it jumps, lower saturator output, or put a limiter after the rack as a safety net, with a ceiling around minus 0.3 dB. The limiter is not there to crush. It's there to catch accidents while you learn. Common mistakes to avoid while you're practicing. 1. Reverb too high on drums. The snare loses crack, the groove turns to soup. Keep space controlled. 2. Forgetting to reset at the drop. This is the biggest one. Always put hard reset point on the downbeat of the drop, so the drop arrives clean and full. 3. Over-resonant filter sweeps. If it whistles or spikes, bring resonance down or tighten the frequency range. 4. With automation messing with lows, keep your sub centered. If you're widening anything that contains low end, consider monoing bass frequencies with a utility or EQ approach before you widen. 5. Stacking too much damage at once. Saturator plus redux plus heavy filtering can flatten transients. Usually pick one main character move per transition, then keep the rest subtle. Now, let's do a mini practice so you can lock this in. Goal: a 16-bar build into a 32-bar drop, with two transitions. Put the DNB sweep rack on your drums group. In bars 15 to 17, your two bars pre-drop. Sweep goes 18kHz down to 300hz. Bass goes 0 up to 30%, and then hits 0% on the drop. Then later, in bars 31 to 33, going into drop 2, reverse the sweep this time. Go 300hz up to 18kHz, so it feels like a release instead of a vacuum. And destroy, only for the last half bar, flick it from 0 up to around 6, then hard reset on the downbeat. Then render a quick bounce and listen back. And here's the self-check I want you to do like a producer, not like a student. Listen at low volume. If the drop impact disappears at low volume, your automation is probably stealing punch. Usually it's too much space, or you didn't reset something cleanly. Before we wrap, a couple advanced but easy ideas you can try once the basics work. Try a two-speed sweep, gentle movement from 8 bars out, then a panic ramp in the final bar. That's very DNB. It mimics how builds often snap into urgency. Or do macro scenes. Sweep is the leader lane and you add tiny companion moves. Like space rises only in the final half bar, width narrows a touch in the final beat, destroy flicks on for the last quarter bar. Keep those extra moves small so it feels intentional, not chaotic. And one more. The reverse reset. The anti-slam. Instead of snapping space to zero instantly, you can let it decay back over the first half bar of the drop. You still reset sweep instantly so brightness returns, but the tail fades quickly. It can sound huge without smearing the groove. Okay, recap. You built a macro-controlled FX rack designed for DNB transitions. You mapped key parameters to macros, filter, reverb, saturation, redux, width. You learned how to automate those macros in Arrangement View to create classic moves, pre-drop vacuum, riser brightness push, and post-drop slam back. And the golden rule you're taking with you: always reset your automation on the drop, because impact is everything. This audio version is shortened for playback.